Psalm 71 in your book this morning. Psalm 71 and verses 14 through 18 will be our text. And we'll be right here in these verses and in this chapter, Psalm 71. And we're going to read in the middle of the psalm, picking up David here speaking, and verse number 14 down through verse 18. Now, we're going to stand just a moment after you find your place. Let's read these responsively. That is, if you join me on the odd-numbered verses, and I'll read the evens for us. So let's stand and honor God's good book this morning. And I'm beginning on verse 14. David, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this portion of your book. Pray that you will please empower us as we speak and listen to what the Holy Ghost would say to us today. And God, I thank you that we can have liberty in the service, and pray that your Spirit will be here to give us that liberty. But Lord, when it comes to opening our hearts, you don't force feed us. I pray that you'll help us to come expecting and anticipating to get something from your book today. And we'll thank you for it. We love you. Pray that you'll bless the song, the singers, and the music, and then, Lord, the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Song this morning for us. Amen. Sobering song. The message of a song like that kind of makes you think a little bit, doesn't it? It does me. It doesn't hurt us to hear stuff like that. Good music and good truth for us this morning. I want to speak to you on this subject, trying to count the sand. Trying to count the sand. All right? You'll understand it as we get into the message here, as we go through these verses. Trying to count the sand. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing. Dear Father, you do look upon our hearts, and I'm thankful that we can being robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thankful for the imputed righteousness that's given to everyone who comes to Christ in repentance and faith and is saved. And then, Lord, help us, I pray, to have that imparted righteousness, that day-to-day living, not living righteous in order to be saved or to keep saved, but living righteously, Lord, because we are saved, in gratitude and appreciation for such a great salvation. And You do look upon our hearts, and You will bless those who are pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, You said, Matthew 5, for they shall see God. Lord, help us to remember the good message of the song we just heard. And now, Lord, I pray that pure heart will receive Your word today. Speak to every believer. Speak to anybody who's unsaved. And I'll be careful to thank You for it in Jesus' name. And amen. This psalm was written by David in his old age. You could tell that by some of the verses that we read. It was written not too very long before his death, and most probably written during Absalom's rebellion. Now let me say this. The trauma of Absalom's rebellion was hard on David. It would be hard on anybody in David's shoes. I think about the physical exertion. He had to pull up and he had to leave the palace. He had to flee Jerusalem. He's not a young man. He's an older man. So you got the physical exertion of this rebellion. You've got the mental sharpness that was required. He was directing a battle. He didn't engage in combat, but he was still the commanding officer, if you will. And so he's the one that had to call the shots. And so it required some mental sharpness. And then there was the emotional struggle of Absalom's rebellion. People wanted to kill him. They didn't want him to just be put off the throne. They wanted to kill. Can I suggest to you, friend, that if somebody was literally trying to kill us, it might create a little emotional trauma? Huh? And they're trying to kill you. So they tried to kill David. And those people wanted his throne. They wanted his position. They wanted to kill him. And here's the worst of it all. They were led by his own son. Oh, my gracious. Oh, brother. You know, something about your children. You know, Brother Tom, he always is spirited in his song leading. I thought this morning a little extra spirit in his song leading. And I know why. Look out there, and there sits daughter and grandson. Anytime the kids come home, some of you are going to learn this in the future. When the kids come home, it's through the roof, buddy. It's through the roof. It's so much fun. When those kids move away and are gone, and then they come home for a visit, you can't believe it. You can't. My wife says I'm a different person. So I don't know. I guess I think that's what it is. And so how'd you like to have your own son trying to kill you? Trying to run you off from your position. So this is what David's going through. Now you can feel and sense his anxiety and his complete dependence on God all the way through Psalm 71. Look at verse number 1. Look at how it starts. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. So right away, as he opens this song in his heart to God, he's saying, Lord, You are my trust. Look at verse number 9. He says there in verse number 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. He's old. He says, forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. God's left him. Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. You sense his anxiety. You sense his utter dependence on God. God, You're my trust. You're my help. So, I mean, he's, as a younger man, he might have been more determined to give chase, to fight, to conquer, to defeat, and then exult in victory. And by the way, David had seen his shares of victory. He had tasted exaltation. So he knew what it was, and in his younger days, he might have been more apt to do that, but by his own testimony in verses number 9 and 18, we won't reread those verses. By his own testimony, he's older and maybe a bit too weak and a bit too tired to fight, and conquering has lost its appeal because of who he would have to to conquer. If he conquers, he's going to have to conquer his own son. That would cause conquering to lose its appeal, wouldn't it? So you see why he had no taste for this. So he left it to his general. He left it to Joab to manage the battle. He stayed out of combat. He was in a dark, dark hour in the midst of a dark day at a very dark time in David's life. I think we can safely say that. This is a dark hour in a dark day and a dark time in David's life. When people turn against you and want you dead, and their ringleader is your own son. That's pretty dark. By the way, this is not a fable. This is how we read the Bible. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Folks, you got it. What if it was your son? What if it was my son? How would I feel? This is not a fable. This is not some fairy tale or a dream. This is real. Okay? And we're on the backside of it. But David's living it. So he's experiencing all this. What does David do? How does he handle the physical weakness from his old age, the mental exertion of trying to remain sharp, decisions that must be made, and the emotional struggle? How does he balance all that? What does he do? Well, in verses 14 and 15, and I'm not going to preach on this morning. This is a part of it, but not the bulk of the message. I see three things in verses 14 through 15 at this dark time. Number one, he said, I'm going to hope in God continually. You see 14a, but I will hope continually. I like those words. The word hope in our Bible means confidence. It means concrete, unshakable, in spite of all that may be happening, in spite of all what it may look like to me. My senses, in spite of all what my physical senses may tell me, I'm going to remain confident in God. Folks, our physical senses will lie to us. Our physical senses will deceive us. Our hearts are deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. You ever been deceived by sight? You ever been deceived by sound? Even been deceived by taste or touch or smell? Our physical senses will deceive us. And David said, in spite of all that my physical senses pick up in this situation, I'm not going to lose hope. I am going to hope in God continually. My hope is like an anchor stuck in the mud. I'm not going to lose my hope in God. Hope in God continually. Number two, he said, I'm going to praise God, and then I'm going to add more to it. Look at verse number 14b, the end of verse 14. He said, and will yet praise thee more and more. I'm going to add to that praise. This is remembering that God is worthy of praise, watch it now, all the time. All the time. So David said, my own son's trying to kill me. But God's worthy to be praised. My own son's trying to run me off the throne, but God is good. So I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to add more to that. I'm not going to just praise Him one time. I'm going to add more to it. This is a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and Brother Booth came before football camp, and we had passed the plate on Sunday for Brother Dave, Evangelist Dave Young. And I thought, I don't want to pass the plate again. I don't want to do that too often. And so we made out a check to Brother Tim Booth for preaching in the service on that Wednesday night. I told him in the office, I said, Brother Tim, here's an honorarium for preaching, and we're not going to pass the plate tonight because it just did it Sunday, and I don't want to overdo the people. He said, I understand, Brother Terry, that's fine, no problem. And yet, during his message, God so moved on our hearts that Wednesday night. God so moved through that message. Powerful. Boy, you miss something if you're sitting at home on Wednesday night watching a television set. Good night. I don't know. You may have a viable reason for not being in church on Wednesday night. Some of you miss on Sunday nights. I'm going to tell you, whatever you're doing, brother, I'm going to tell you something. When that book is preached, you are missing, you are robbing yourself of a blessing. That's foolish. And I didn't even intend to say that, but it feels good to say it. Amen. Because it happened. I'm telling you, ask the folks that were here. God came in that service that Wednesday night. God moved. And while He was preaching, you know what I wanted? I wanted to reach in my pocket and give Him something. That message. So we had a second offering. And that second offering was $8 short of the check that I wrote him the first time, the check that we gave him the first time. So he got double. Isn't that a blessing? Because that just wasn't enough. Just wasn't enough. I just wanted to do something myself because God so powerfully moved in that service. What, on He must increase, I must decrease. And boy, how he ended that message. Ah, what did he say? I ain't telling you. Buy the tape, since you didn't come, buy the tape. We could use the $5 for the CD. Amen. So, man, what a blessing. So it wasn't enough just to give him an offer. I wanted to give more. This is what David said. It's not enough to praise God. I want to add something. I'm going to praise Him more and more. So he said, I'm going to hope in God continually. I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to add some more praise to it. And then he said, number three, he said, I'm going to testify about God's blessings. Look what he said, verse number 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. He said, my mouth is going to praise God. I'm going to show forth. I'm going to verbally tell. The previous 14b, I'll praise Him more and more. That maybe was in his private worship life before God. David's going to praise Him more and more, but David said, I'm not just going to be private about it. I'm going to be public about it as well. And I'm going to testify about God's goodness all the day. And then David made the statement that jumped out of me this week from the Word of God. Verse number 15, he says, my mouth's going to show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. And then he said this, for I know not the numbers thereof. What's he saying? Well, he's testifying about God's blessings. And he said, I've got to speak all day long because His blessings are more than I can count. They're not 5 or 10 or 20. He said, I know not the numbers thereof. They're so far beyond what I could begin to calculate. He said, I know not the numbers thereof. This is not the only time David said it. Hold your finger right there. Hold your finger. I'm going to go to a couple of the verses and show you. Look at, you turn backwards to chapter 40. Chapter 40 and look at verse number 5. And remember that theme right there. He said, I know not the numbers thereof. Remember that theme and look at chapter 40 and verse number 5. Chapter 40 and verse number 5. He says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. He said, dear God, he said, if I started talking about all the blessings that you, the way you blessed me and done for me, they're more than I can number. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. He said, more than I can number. Look at Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139 and verse number 17 and 18. And then we'll get back to chapter 71. Psalm 139. And then we'll get back to chapter 71. Verse 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You get all the mathematical words in here. Okay? How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. You ever try? You ever pick up a handful of sand? Let it spill very slowly out of your grasp and try to count it. You ever tried to count the sand? Can we say impossible? I think we can say impossible. You ever tried that? You know what David said? He said, God's blessings are like trying to count the sand. Can't do it. Trying to enumerate God's blessings is like trying to count the sand. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. He said, in fact, he said, look, if you could count the sand and put a number on all those grains, you still couldn't count God's blessings. They are innumerable. If it's impossible to count the sand, friend, it's doubly impossible to count the blessings of Almighty God. The blessings of Almighty God. Back to chapter 71. So I want you to see what David said. He said, I know not the numbers thereof. Talking about the blessings of God. He said, they are more than can be numbered. Talking about the blessings of God. He said, they are more in number than the sand. You cannot number the sand. You can't number the sand. And blessings are more in number than the sand, more in number than you can count. And this is at a time when David's own son was trying to kill him. It'd be one thing to talk about the blessings of God if you had all the kids seated around their table with their spouses and their grandchildren and everybody in one big happy family. It's something altogether different to talk about the blessings of God when your own son's trying to kill you. And yet that's what David did. More in number, God, than I can count. What are you going to do in this dark hour, David? What are you going to do in this dark day? What are you going to do in this valley, this dark time? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hope in God continually and not giving up on God. I like what Brother Tim Booth said, as long as there's a prayer closet, there's hope. He said, I'm going to praise Him more and I'm going to add some to it. And then he said, I'm going to testify. I'm going to speak publicly about the blessings of God because I don't know the numbers thereof. I can't count them. Friend, I believe with all of my heart that the day will come in our walk of faith where it will be impossible to understand what is going on. It'll be when what is going on in our life will discourage us and cause us great sorrow. And I want to say in that hour, in that day, in that time, the blessings and goodness of God will still be more than we can count. You listening this morning? I wasn't even going to say this, but God just brought it to my mind. We drove up Interstate 57 Friday, August 7th. We got close to Champaign, and I said, honey, it was 8 years ago that God took Nathan to heaven right here. Right here. We talked about that, and we remembered that horrible day. To us, horrible. For Nathan, it was a great day. Taken to heaven. But for us here at the church, it was a horrible day. For his family, it was a horrible day. And I want to tell you something. Even in that dark, dark hour, the blessings and goodness of God were still more than could be numbered. And I got to know that. Psalm 139 was written about David in his youth. Psalm 40 was written about David in midlife. Psalm 71 is written about David in old age. And all the way up, David said, the blessings and goodness of God are more than I can count. More than I can number. More than I can calculate. He said, God, your goodness and your blessings and your thoughts and your works toward me are more than I can number. I know not the number thereof. It's like trying to count the sand. Let the Word of God encourage you this morning, friend. Some of you are going through that dark hour and that dark day and that dark time. And place your attention and your concentration on the goodness and blessings of God. This is what David did. And because he did it, there were several benefits for him. And you know, sometimes people get in a dark day and a dark hour and they're grasping for help. Help me, Pastor. Help me, spouse. Help me, friend. What can I do to get me through the dark hour? Well, here's something you can do. Put your mind on the blessings and goodness of God. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. David did when his own son was trying to kill him. And there were benefits. Many. Let me give you two or three of them this morning. Look at it quick. Number one, there was personal benefit. Personal, because David in a dark day put his mind on the blessings of God, there was personal benefit. Look at verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. You see, to hope in God and to praise God and to testify of God's goodness benefited David personally. It gave him strength. It gave him strength to wrap his mind around the goodness of God and leave it there was like recharging David's battery. You ever have your battery? I got a little thing from my father-in-law when he left the farm several years ago. And we were at the auction at the house there. And he said, now, boys, me and Brad and Steve, he said, if you want something, tell me. And he said, I'll tell the auctioneer to put a hold on it. And so I saw the battery charger and the air compressor. And Steve didn't want it, and Brad didn't want it. I said, man, I'd love to have that. So I got the battery charger. Boy, has that thing been a blessing. Every once in a while, a battery will go dead. Lights left on, something at the house. It's happened to you. You can take that battery charger and plug that thing in and hook those cables on your battery, the terminals on the battery, the posts, and recharge that old weak and dead battery. And it'll do more than just bring it back to where it was when it went dead. It'll renew it. It'll recharge it. And to wrap your mind around the goodness of God. Folks, look, here's what happens. You get into a dark time and a dark day. You know what happens? You saturate your thinking with that, with whatever it is. Do you understand that that requires strength? And you got to focus your thoughts on things that don't require strength. You've got to focus on things that renew your strength. Not just replace it, renew it. They that wait upon the Lord shall replace their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew. There's a big difference in replacing and renewing. Absolutely. I know this is too elementary. I understand that. And in this day of scholarship, impressive scholarship, but I want to tell you something, friend. You don't need scholarship when you get in a dark hour. You don't need to be exegeting verses and hoping to find the original so we can understand what the Bible says. Take what the English book says and practice it. For heaven's sakes. It may be unsophisticated to some of you in this room this morning unless you're in a dark day. If you're in a dark day at a dark time, that thing just, it consumes your thoughts. It consumes you from the moment you wake up to the end of the day till you fall off in sleep exhausted. David couldn't do that. And he didn't do that. He tried to wrap his mind around the goodness of God. And he said, I can't do it. I can't wrap my mind around the goodness of God. It's far greater than I can even number. But David said, the thing that does is it gives me strength. If you're going through the dark or difficult time, the greatest battle will be in your mind. Put your thoughts on God's blessings. They are more than you can count. No matter what the cause of the darkness and difficulty may be, there will be personal benefit in thinking about God's strength. God's blessings, you'll renew your strength. That's the truth. So there's personal benefit. There's personal benefit. Number two, there is public benefit. Public benefit. Look at verse number 18. He says, Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. There is always that wonderful opportunity to be a testimony of God's grace and power to those around you. And David said, I'm going to try to enumerate the blessings of God. It's impossible to do, but I'm going to think on those and I'm going to testify about those. It's impossible, but I'm going to do my best because it'll cause me to be a testimony to those in my generation. One of the greatest joys in life is the opportunity to serve others, to live for others, to help others. And brother, when you're going through a dark day, the last thing you need is for your mind to be on yourself. And causing your mind to think on the blessings of God renews your strength and allows you to be a help to somebody else. When you're going through it and God's strength is your portion and you are benefiting from renewed strength, you have a golden opportunity to touch the lives of others. Touch the lives of others. Sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I'm in a position to talk with people often. You know, usually, I don't know, maybe once or twice, you know, pastor, somebody said, Pastor, can I talk to you for a few minutes? Yeah, come on in. What you need? I just want you to know, man, things are great. The blessings of God are more than I can count. My marriage is great. The job is good. Our health is good. Our children are obedient in line. And it's just I got the joy of the Lord in my soul. I just wanted to tell you that. You know, it's never happened. No, it's the knock on the pastor. My car's broken down. I'm out of money. I got this problem. I got that. But it puts you in a position sometimes when you're trying to help people with difficulties and they have the grace and blessing of God on their life and they're sitting there telling me about their difficulty and I am witnessing their attitude and their spirit and their joy as they're going through this difficult time. And you know what? They are an encouragement to me. They are a challenge to me. In fact, they shame me. They leave the office, and I'm sitting behind there thinking, son, you ain't got a problem in this world. You don't have a problem. And yet you have more complaints than they do. And that's true about us sometimes. Yeah. Some of us got it going. Some of us got it going so good. We don't know enough. We don't have enough sense to talk about the blessings, so we complain. Somebody in the middle of a difficult hour, and God is with them, and God is on them, and God is touching them, and God is blessing them. They're not running around speaking in some unknown language, jumping over pews, but they got that glow about them. And yet they are in such trouble, such dark days, such difficult hours. That's the circumstances of their life. And you're sitting there going, whoa. And they leave my presence and I'm ashamed. This is what I'm talking about. Public benefit. Brother, when it's the dark day and the dark hour in your life and in my life, wrapping our mind around the blessings and goodness of God renews our strength and allows us to keep going and be a testimony and an encouragement to somebody else. That's a great blessing. It's public benefit. I've said often over the years that I believe with all of my heart the unsaved guy you work with, you're trying to win him to Christ. That unsaved person that works in the office where you work, you're trying to win him to Christ. It's not how you and I behave in the good times that are going to impress that person. It's how you and I behave when the days are dark. That'll get their attention. That unsaved person gets in their car and drives home from work, and the Holy Spirit of God brings that to their memory. And they drive home 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes thinking about, how does that guy at work do it? How does he come to work every day with a smile on his face? How does he never complains? He doesn't talk ugly about the boss. And I know his child is sick. And they cut our hours. And the income is down. But you'd never know it looking at him. What is wrong with that guy? And the Spirit of God uses as a public testimony your life, your dark hour. The Spirit of God uses it to touch the life of somebody else. What a golden opportunity. What a golden opportunity. So there was personal benefit. There was public benefit. And this I like. Number three, there was potential benefit. At the end of verse number 18, he says, "It only will show thy strength unto this generation." He said, "I want to show thy power to everyone that is to come." You know, there are those coming up in the next generation. There are your children. There are your grandchildren. And children and grandchildren will benefit from parents and grandparents who get through the difficult times glorifying God. Folks, our children and grandchildren are not going to benefit from us falling apart and getting in this dark, dark hole where we can't be a blessing to anybody, but they will benefit if you and I will get renewed strength by thinking on the blessings of God. You know, folks, do we ever stop and realize that every situation we face, every circumstance we deal with, is not just about us? It's not just about us. It's about the opportunity to influence the next generation. I read a quote by Matthew Henry this week. It floored me. Write it down. Here it is. I wrote it down. Here it is. Quote, "It is a debt which the old disciples of Christ owe to the succeeding generations. To leave behind them a solemn testimony to the power, pleasure, and truth of God's promises. That makes me just want to pop. It is a debt which the old disciples of Christ owe to the succeeding generations to leave behind them a solemn testimony to the power, pleasure, and truth of God's promises. Brother Tom, that little granddaughter sitting down the pew from you and that little grandson sitting down from the pew from you, according to Matthew Henry, based on the Scriptures, brother, you have a debt to leave them an example of a godly granddaddy who saw dark days but got through it. Without turning on God and blaming God and cursing God and getting out of church and giving up my faith. It's a debt. Is that grandchild sitting down the pew from you this morning? Huh? Brother Hanson, Mrs. Hanson, you come down here to see Caleb and Emily, right? You come down here to see David and Joshua, amen. Those little boys and Abe and Ruth's children and Chad and Jessica and all those grandchildren. Brother Hanson, you have a debt to leave behind you a testimony that through the dark hours, God didn't desert me and I didn't desert Him. A debt. This is what David is saying. He's saying it may not be my victories that influence the next generation as much as my dark times. It may not be my sunshiny days as much as my cloudy days. It may not be the mountaintops as much as the valley that God will use to influence the next generation to keep going for God. Sometimes they sing the song around here, "Oh, may all who come behind us." And they are coming behind. Used to think about grandchildren. Now I got them. Boom, 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 boom. And we're right there in the next several years. And I don't know if Luke will get married or not. If he can find a blind girl somewhere, I guess. But Leah and Cherry. In fact, I got grandchildren in the picture for a long, long time. I have a debt. I have a debt. I hate to say it this way, but I'm an old disciple of Christ. Some of you are older disciples than I am. And by the way, I won't do it, wouldn't call the name, wouldn't embarrass the person for my life. But there's an old saint of God in this church. A couple of them. In the last 8 to 12 months have gone through some dark, dark valleys. You'd never know it. They're in their place in their 70s. They're in their place. They don't miss a beat. They come with a smile on their face. You talk about a testimony of this old younger than them by 20 years, by 25 years. Of somebody that can go through a dark valley and not lose their joy and not lose their gladness and their song. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And friend, my footprints are not always going to tread upon the mountaintops. My footprints are going to tread through the valley. And my footprints need to inspire and light them, yes, on the mountain, but also in the valley. Next generation, the potential benefit. I tell you something, folks, God's blessings are more than we can count, more than we can number. Where do you start?
since we met last Sunday, I got up with life and breath and health. I jumped in my car. I crossed state lines. I went down the road. I was comfortable. I had plenty to eat. I had a bed to sleep on. I had a roof over my head. I had clothes for my back. I had the companionship of my wife and one of my girls and a friend of hers and the fellowship of preachers and the fellowship of other saints and the Spirit of God working and a Bible to read and a Heavenly Father to talk to and a Holy Spirit to guide me. Where do I start? Where do I end? One thing about going to this meeting down in Arkansas, and this is my third time. In the last 2 years, I was in Ukraine and Mexico during this week. It puts me in a different circle. This is not the crowd of preachers that I normally run in, and that's good for me. Iron sharpeneth iron. It's a little different iron. I'm going to have the singing group here. From the Ozarks, and I'm going to, for 6 weeks before they come, I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to prepare you, because I'm telling you. I said, Brother Larry, do you ever travel up north? He said, Well, I've been in southern Illinois. I said, That ain't north. You ever been up close to Chicago? I said, No. They're Ozark. You've been to the Ozarks, a culture all its own. His three adult daughters, unmarried, and they all sing. His wife died of cancer years ago, and him and his three adult daughters sing with their big old bass fiddle and their guitars, Ozark Mountain style. It'd be good. But I'll prepare you 6 weeks in advance. I get around a different group of preachers, and many of them are old. A fellow was there preaching this week who was at Highland Park when Charles Weigel gave a testimony about writing the song No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus and played it and sang it for the first time. He was there. And to see these old men preaching for 50 years in their 70s, Jack Thompson, 86, still preaching. And to get around them and know that they've walked over the mountains and they've walked down through the valleys, but they've left behind a testimony of God's strength and God's faithfulness and God's power. Oh, it's a blessing to my heart. I'm not sure they knew it when they were walking through that deep valley, the potential benefit for a 52-year-old preacher in Bourbon, Illinois. But I got it this week. Just being around them. Folks, come on. Dark days, dark hours, dark times are coming. Some of you are in them. Some of you, us, will be in them one of these days. But listen. In those hours, we can't be consumed with the difficulty. David said, I'm going to put my mind on God's goodness, and I'm going to try to. The numbers of blessings are, it's innumerable. And if you and I would learn to count God's blessings, you say, "Well, Pastor, you said it's impossible." Yeah, it is, but it doesn't hurt to try. And when you start thinking about God did this and God does that, and God does this and God loves me, and God takes me back when I do wrong, and God does this, and God, 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 and God. I think I can survive. I think I can make it. Amen. It's like trying to count the sand. Like trying to count the sand. May not be able to do it, but it's sure to learn to try. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning.